Frank Frangie here. Hewn Flowers has moved their former Ponte Vedra location to Sawgrass Village. And when I need to send a floral arrangement for any reason, I know I can really count on Hewn. Call 398-8601, hewnflowers.com.
The Friday night lights have been shining all over the First Coast. Now it's time to break it all down.
Friday Night Lights.
Presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists on 1010XL. Here are your hosts, Ryan the Hacker Green and Denny Thompson.
And a very good Friday evening to you, Jacksonville. It is the Friday Night Lights postgame. We are presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. The Hacker Ryan Green with you. Denny Thompson will be by momentarily. He is still out at Sandalwood High School taking in what has been an absolutely terrific ball game between Mandarin and Sandalwood, the game being broadcast tonight on ESPNU. Of course, Carson Beck, the Mandarin quarterback, committed to Georgia. Jeff Sims, the Sandalwood quarterback, committed to Florida State. 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and Carson Beck has just thrown a touchdown pass to put Mandarin on top of Sandalwood, 34-27. Again, 5 minutes to go at Sandalwood High School. Mandarin up by a touchdown. Sandalwood about to get the ball to see if they can go down for the tying score. We will keep you updated. What a night it's been all over Northeast Florida. What a night it was one evening ago. A lot of games last night as well. Here are the games that have gone final. There are still a lot of games ongoing. This is what we have as finals from this evening. Congratulations to head coach Kevin Brown and the Fletcher Senators. They get a big district win tonight over Creekside, 38-10. Fletcher playing some very good football. They've been in must-win mode for about the last month, and they've won every game they've played in the last month, including beating Creekside tonight, 38-10. The Bradford County Tornadoes, a 41-27 winner tonight over Palatka. Fernandina Beach, the Pirates, get a 37-25 win over Hilliard. To go along with Mandarin and Sandalwood, one of the games of the night was Bartram Trail and Oak Leaf. Bartram Trail, one of the only remaining undefeated teams in the area. Oak Leaf, a very good team, had only lost two games by a combined 3 points. They have gone final in Clay County within the last 5 minutes. Bartram Trail gets it done tonight, 31-24. Over Oak Leaf, Bartram Trail goes to 8-0 on the year. What a win for Bartram. You got to feel for Oak Leaf. That's now three losses for the Oak Leaf Knights by a combined 10 points. Think about that. Three losses by a combined 10 points, but Bartram gets it done tonight, 31-24. Christchurch, a 50-18 winner tonight over Bronson. Games that have yet to go final. And actually, let me correct that. You just heard the game go final right here on 1010XL. The Bulls Bulldogs, a 41-7 winner tonight over the Clay Blue Devils. Games yet to go final. In the fourth quarter, we have Menendez, 28-27 over Ridgeview. In the fourth quarter, University Christian, 41-24 over Baldwin. In the fourth quarter, Orange Park, 24-14 over the Eastside Rams. Fourth quarter action out at Fleming Island High School. A win for Fleming Island will give them a district championship, and it looks like they're going to get it. Fleming Island, 42-19 over Gainesville Buchholz. How about this shootout in St. Johns County? In the fourth quarter, St. Augustine, a 55-45 lead over the Nice Panthers. They are late in the fourth quarter out of Baker County High School. Baker County holding on to a 27-24 lead over West Nassau. We talked about games from one night ago as well. A lot of action last night. Let's get you caught up. Trinity Christian, a big win over Lee last night. Head coach Verlin Dormany and the Conquerors, 21-12 over Lee. It was Episcopal, 42-0 over Paxson one night ago. The First Coast Buccaneers and head coach Marty Lee were winners over Atlantic Coast last evening, 28-0. The Jackson Tigers, 25-21 over Englewood. It was Rebolt last night, a 46-0 victory over Stanton. Terry Parker one night ago over Middleburg, 35-10. Reigns, a 40-0 winner last night over Yuli. Westside, 35-24 over Ed White. And how about the Wolfson Wolfpack one night ago, 38-10. Winners over Bishop Snyder. Wolfson, my alma mater, improves to 6-2 on the year. And that's actually where we will begin here on the Friday Night Lights postgame. Let's bring in Coach Dennis Bettinger, Coach B of Wolfson, as they were winners one night ago. Coach Bettinger, congratulations on the victory last night.
Yes, thank you very much. It was a good one. Anytime you win, it's always a good one. The kids were excited. You know, it was senior night. We had a pink out night for breast cancer awareness. So there was a lot of hype, a lot of enthusiasm the whole night. It was just a great night. It was a kind of cool out. So it was just beautiful. The whole thing was great. And we got that sixth win. So, hey, we broke that, you know, season losing streak that we've been after. But we told them, the kids at the end, hey, we ain't done yet. We're going to keep winning.
I'll tell you, Coach, I've heard from a lot of Wolfson alums, and it's kind of cool to be talking about, you know, I know maybe you won't say the P word yet, but we will. Maybe a playoff push here for Wolfson. You look at those rankings that come out. But again, you know, and I go back to Media Day. You knew this in late July when Coach Bettinger of Wolfson came and sat down with me at High School Media Day. You said, we're at minimum going to go 6-4 this year. So you're not surprised by this, Coach. You saw this coming about 3 months ago.
Yes, sir, I did. Yes. I could just see the momentum, the kids, how they were just coming out the summer workouts and just how they were working. I mean, just each day wanting to learn in the classroom when we were teaching stuff. It was just constant. You could just see it, what they wanted, and you could just feel it. And the coaches were all like, hey, we might have something going on here this year. You know, and it just, we felt it. I don't know how else to describe it, but it was a good feeling. And we were like really looking forward to, hey, this could actually go 6-4 or better. And that's what we just said, and it happened. That was a great thing.
Coach, I'm curious, and we have one heck of a story here in our area next week. I think a district championship game between Parker and Westside, that's phenomenal to me because those are two teams that have absolutely turned a corner. Is that, do you look at programs like that? If you look and see what Parker's done, you look and see where they were, say, 3-4 years ago, really the same thing with Westside. That's got to give programs really all over the area kind of the blueprint to say, hey, if they can do something like that, maybe we can as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And those two coaches have done a great job in their two programs to get it going. And that's what we tell these kids, too. Hey, we're playing against the same kids. We're not playing against college kids. We just got to go in there and do it. We've been down for so long. Why not us? That's where we had the mentality. Why not us? Why not Wolfson? Why can't we win? You know? Hey, we're just as good as anybody else. So, let's just put it together, and we got to put that work in. That was the biggest thing. Put that work in and get in that weight room and really, you know, if you want it, you got to go get it. But I told them, ain't nobody giving you nothing. So you got to go take it. And we're taking it so far.
All right, Coach, final question for you again. Dennis Bettinger of Wolfson, they are now 6-2 on the football season. You talk about, and you mentioned to me all the freshmen that you have. And at a program like Wolfson, to have freshmen out there is so vital to start building back up the numbers of your program. But when other kids and other athletes see the football team begin to string some wins together, word's going to spread. I mean, winning games in high school football, you know, means a lot of things. It also means the popularity of that high school football team will start circulating again. And that's got to be a great thing, knowing that with more games that you win, more talk that you get, other kids may want to come out and play for your football team.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about it. And that's a perfect thing because, you know, winning's everything, you know, and that's what kids want to do. No one wants to go and get beat by 60 every night. No one wants that. I mean, who does? So when you start seeing that, you start, like you said, kids around the neighborhood start saying, hey, I want to go to Wolfson. Before it was like, no, that's all right. I'll go somewhere else. And that's a good feeling, you know, that they want to come in. The numbers are growing, and they see that, hey, we got freshmen, and you can play over here. So we don't have a JV yet, but we're building up. We have 42. So we're going to keep going, you know. If you want to come along, come on. You know, we got something going on.
It was a great win last night for Wolfson, 38-10 over Bishop Snyder. The Wolfpack now 6-2 on the football season. Dennis Bettinger of Wolfson, congratulations, Coach, on a big win last night.
Thank you, and thank you for all you do and the support you have for Wolfson. We highly appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach. Dennis Bettinger of the Wolfson Wolfpack. Rodney DeBose of Westside, just a couple of minutes away. Before we get to Coach DeBose, let's go to head coach Verlin Dormany of Trinity Christian. They were winners one night ago over Lee. Coach Dormany joins us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congrats on the victory one night ago.
Hey, thanks, Zach. We needed one.
I'll tell you, Coach, it's a big win. I mean, you look at what Lee did no more than 7 days ago, knocking off Lake City Columbia in overtime. They turn around, play you guys on a Thursday night, and boy, you jumped on them early. You held on for the win, and what a great win for your program last evening.
It was great. I mean, defense played great down the stretch. We kind of botched up late in the second half and didn't do some things right. But we're fortunate to get out there with a win and happy to just kind of trying to hang on to that sixth spot, try to get in these playoffs.
Miles Brooks had a big game for you, Coach. You know, we always talk so much about Fred Davis, and with good reason, but give a little love to Miles Brooks, who's committed to Georgia Tech. He's been quite a player for you.
You know, Miles did. He had a great night. You know, he was crowned homecoming king, and he played a great game. And, you know, it's good to see kids that's been in your program as long as he has. And I asked him before the game, I said, Miles, how long have you been here? Because I thought, you know, I was remember him playing middle school football. And he said, Coach, I've been here 13 years. I started in kindergarten.
Wow.
Thought, good night. You know, so it was exciting to see him do so well and have such a great game.
Verlin Dormany of Trinity Christian, they were winners one night ago over Lee, 21-12. Coach, you are in an interesting situation because the schedule you've played, we've talked about it all year, and maybe you don't know this. You probably know more than I do, but I don't know if you have your math teachers over there crunching all the numbers, but I mean, you're still, even at 3-5 before the win last night, you were still in decent shape for the playoffs just because of the ridiculous nature of your schedule. You beat a Lee team last evening. That's only going to help, obviously, getting into the postseason. The fact that you've lost games, but you've lost to unbelievably good teams, that still helps you in this RPI rating system, does it not?
Yeah, and you know what? We knew that going in. And our biggest goal was to, you know, try to stay healthy and compete every week. And we have. I think there was two games that we didn't do well in. Lee beat Columbia, and Columbia beat us like a drum the first week of the season. And so then we go back and knock Lee off last night. So that tells you about what this season takes its toll on teams. And, you know, you lose kids and due to injury and things like that. So, you know, but for us to just still be hanging in there and doing as well as we have, you know, we're fortunate to win the game in overtime, lose one in double overtime, and then, you know, there's a couple of times where we lost one that was, you know, we had a chance to win against American Heritage. We fumbled it away. So, you know, we're just glad to be hanging around and get a chance to be in the playoffs.
Well, I love talking to you every week because you get a big win, right, and you want to celebrate it. And then next week, it's the graveyard. I mean, yeah. It's your schedule is just nuts. You go from playing Lee to going to the graveyard to play Reigns. And, I mean, look, that's what high school football is all about. Trinity Christian, Reigns, state championships on both sidelines. What a game that's going to be next week, Coach.
No, it will be. It'll be a lot of fun. And it's our last regular season of the game of the year. Where our bye comes at the end of the season. So, you know, hopefully we can go over Reigns and play well and see Coach Wiley. He and I are good friends. And looking forward to another great game next week.
You know, Coach, final question for you. Again, Verlin Dormany of Trinity Christian. If memory serves, you did this last year. Do you schedule your season where you play 10 straight, but you want the bye right before the postseason. Is that what you try to do every year?
Not really, Hack. I like to have my bye in the middle of the year. I like to try to give our kids a break, you know. But it just wound up that way. And a lot of guys do it that way. They like to have that end of the year bye. But I just think it puts a lot of pressure on your kids to play week in to week out. I think an off date during the middle of the season, you know, probably around week 6, 7, really helps your kids kind of get off for a couple of days and kind of rejuvenate and get back and get ready to go for the playoffs.
Well, Coach, congratulations. 21-12 last night, Trinity Christian over Lee, and they will close out their regular season next week at the graveyard, taking on the Reigns Vikings. Verlin Dormany of Trinity Christian. Thank you, Coach.
Hey, Hack, thanks, man. Hey, and you know what? Congratulations to Coach at Wolfson. You know, he really has done a great job. You know, and it takes a lot of work for a program back on the map. And, you know, just to see them guys come out and start winning. And Terry Parker, you know, one of our guys is coaching over there, Ahmad Christian, and see what Coach Dubose has done at Westside, you know, to start winning, and they both get a chance to play each other next week for a district championship. You know, congratulations to them guys. I don't want to get in touch with them, congratulate them, but you know what? It says a lot about how much hard work it is to put programs back on the map and get kids to believe and to win. And it really makes you glad because you're proud of it because you get to play them guys year in and year out that we did in the last few years, and to see them start winning is really good.
That's well said, Coach. Thank you. Verlin Dormany of Trinity Christian. Again, 21-12 Trinity last night over the Lee Generals. You know, he talked about head coach Rodney DeBose of Westside. Coach DeBose joins us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congrats on a huge win last night over Ed White that sets up what I think is a great thing next Friday night for high school football here in our area.
Well, thanks a lot, Hack. It was an exciting night for us. Finally got that done. It's been a long time since we've had a victory in that game. You know, they call it a rivalry, but it's not a rivalry till you win one. So I guess finally it's a rivalry again.
Coach, you're 7-1. I mean, when we talked, you know, in July at Media Day, if I would have told you 7-1 going into late October, what would you have said?
I'd have said great. I'd say great. Thank you. I want to know who the one and hope I could change that. But obviously we're where we want to be. Want to take a shot at the district, have a chance to, you know, win our way into the playoffs and kind of get the point system and RPI and all that stuff out of it, you know, and just kind of have control of our own destiny. So we're where we want to be, and we're excited about it.
You know, the fact that, and I talked, I don't know if you heard this, it was right before you got on the line. I was talking to Coach Bettinger at Wolfson, you know, and they're trying to turn the corner, kind of trying to change the culture of Wolfson football. That's what I think is so great about next Friday night with Westside and with Parker. Because let's be honest, I mean, Parker, a couple of years ago, we weren't having their head coaches on the Friday Night Lights postgame very much. Westside, you're in a little different situation because about 6, 7 years ago, you guys were winning games and doing very well. Then you got placed in a ridiculously hard district and things didn't go your way. But now you've kind of come full circle. And now that game next week, Parker, Westside for a district championship, that's not only great for whoever wins, and it really doesn't even, I mean, even the loser of that game has still had a great year. But that gives so much hope to programs that are trying to do what you guys have done and trying to turn that corner.
Well, I think both teams have tried to, you know, overcome our situations at the time. I give Parker, and as well as ourselves, we didn't cry about it. We win it. We took on the challenge of playing against better teams. You know, I always say to be the team, you got to beat the team. Everybody wants to win a championship, but nobody wants to play anybody sometimes. So we had to play those games, and, you know, we fought through it. Our kids grew from it. Parker's as well, and then we played each other the last few years in the district too, and they got better that last year. So I'm not surprised, I'll be honest. I know how talented they are. I know how hard they work over there, Coach Holloway and Coach Dorsey and those guys and those players. And I knew what, you know, we had been working and doing. So I think it's kind of good that – I think it's very good that the two of us will end up seeing each other, and, you know, we have a lot of respect for each other, and it's going to be a well-fought game, and prayerfully we can get one more point, come out 1 point better.
It's going to be great, no question. A district title will be on the line Westside Parker next week. Rodney DeBose of Westside. Coach, final question for you. What's going to be the message to your kids coming up this week, getting ready for next Friday?
Well, the message on last night was shut up and play. You know, when you have those rivalry games, you know, there's a lot of talking and things that going on. And what I was most proud of our kids was they put the message out to each other before I got to them. You know, they decided to go radio silent, and that's what we try to do in games, because at the end of the day, all the talking, all that stuff doesn't matter. You still have to get on that field. Our kids were extremely focused, and I think they will be this time as well. Again, we respect Parker. Like I said, we know how good they are. We know how talented they are. But we're pretty confident in who we are, and we feel like if we can play up to our capabilities, I still don't think we played our best football game yet. This would be a great time for it to happen. We played some really darn good ones, but I think this would be a great time for us to try to play our best one. And we'll probably need our best one against those explosive athletes they have over there. So we're excited about it. Again, nothing's changed. We have not arrived. We're still built, not borrowed. We're going to give God the glory for everything that we do. And we're breaking the myth over here at Westside. So we're excited about what's going on.
Rodney DeBose of Westside. They're 7-1, winners last night over Ed White. And they will play for a district championship next Friday against the Parker Braves. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you so much again. Thank you for all you do for high school football. So proud of all these other schools. I did get a chance to hear Coach Bettinger at the end, and I know exactly what he's talking about and what he's going through. And you know, it's a great feeling for him and his kids. And I just pray that they all stay together, keep grinding, and turn this thing around. So add some more haves to the former have-nots.
Thank you, Coach. Rodney DeBose of Westside. Special thank you to Dennis Bettinger of Wolfson, Verlin Dormany of Trinity Christian, and Rodney DeBose of Westside. They won all their ball games last night. They stayed up late with us tonight to join us under the Friday night lights. Now, all games tonight that are going final, and there are a lot of them that have gone final within the last 10 minutes. In fact, Jim Stomps of Christ Church is right around the corner. We'll start lining up Victoria's head coaches from tonight's action in just a couple of moments. Denny Thompson is going to be on his way back here to the studio, because it has just gone final at Sandalwood High School. Mandarin, 34-27 winners tonight over Sandalwood. Mandarin keeps their postseason hopes alive. That's now back-to-back wins for Mandarin over Oakleaf and over Sandalwood. Speaking of Oakleaf, they fall tonight to Bartram Trail, 31-24. So in that gigantic District 1-8A, Bartram over Oakleaf tonight by a touchdown. Mandarin over Sandalwood tonight by a touchdown. Menendez has just beat Ridgeview 42-34. It is a final in St. John's County. St. Augustine 55-45 over the Nice Panthers. Other finals, Bradford 41-27 over Palatka. Fletcher 38-10 over Creekside. And I mentioned Jim Stomps of Christ Church. They were winners tonight, 50-18 over Bronson, and Coach Stomps joins us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congratulations.
Hey, thanks so much for having us. I appreciate it.
Coach, 50 points from your offense. It was some effort tonight.
Yeah, we didn't play as well as we wanted to last week. We came up short against Providence. My hats was off to them. They had a great game plan, and they were able to execute one more touchdown than we were. So that was for the division championship. So we just came up a little short. We're the division runner-up now. They're the division champ. Both of us are in the playoffs, and our first playoff game will be next week at home. But we wanted to get the ship righted today and get some things going on offense and play great on all three phases, and I thought we did well tonight.
And, Coach, it's interesting, and elaborate on that, because, look, we're talking about, for you know, most of the schools, 90% of the schools in our area, they have two more regular season weeks. That is not the case for you. It is win or go home for you guys beginning next week when the playoffs get underway.
Yeah, the SSAC playoffs start next week. Providence, with being the division champ, will have a bye next week because they're one seed. The two seed and three seed on each side play. And we've got Mount Dora Christian coming in next week to our place at 7 p.m. To kick off the playoffs. This is 5 years in a row that we've been blessed to be able to make the playoffs, and we're very proud of that. We're 7-1 on the season, which is the second time that's the best record, regular season record for school history. So we're excited about that. And it's a talented Mount Dora team. They're 6-2. So we've got our work cut out for us. But you know, we felt like I said, we felt like we left some plays on the field last week that we didn't finish, and we wanted to make sure that we got everything straightened out for this week.
Coach, how valuable is it, Jim Stomps of Christ Church here with us, how valuable is it for your upperclassmen to have all that playoff experience, your seniors and your juniors, like you said, 5 years in a row? I mean, not that, you know, it's not a big game and there won't be some nerves, but they're kind of used to this. They're used to this postseason atmosphere.
Well, we're excited about it. When I got hired in 2015, these seniors were the eighth graders, and they ran this system on the middle school, and now they've ran it all the way through, and now they're seniors, and they know the system, and they know how to make the checks, and they've been in the big games. We played OCP last year in the playoffs, who was the state champion, and so we've got knocked out by them 2 years in a row. So we've been in big games, pressure situations, and our guys are up for the challenge. And it was a great game last week with Providence, hard hitting. And, you know, I hated that one of us had to come out on the short end, and it was us. But we moved on, and we built, and we corrected, and our boys are ready to play. We got a great opportunity ahead of us. God's blessed us, and I'm excited for our team, our school, and our program.
Jim Stomps of Christ Church, winners tonight, 50-18 over Bronson, and they will begin playoff action next week against Mount Dora. Coach, congratulations on a great regular season. Best of luck as the playoffs begin 1 week from tonight.
Thank you. We're excited about next week hosting Mount Dora. Thanks for everything you do, Hacker. We really appreciate it. Have a blessed night.
Thank you, buddy. Jim Stomps of Christ Church. All right, there you go. Off to a fast start here under the Friday Night Lights. We are presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialist, the good Dr. Kevin Murphy. Just around the corner, we will start lining up Victoria's head coaches. You will hear from Bobby Ramsey of Mandarin in the next few minutes. They are wrapping things up at Sandalwood. I'm sure a very happy bus heading back to Mandarin High School. Mandarin 34-27 winners tonight over Sandalwood. We'll catch up with Daryl Sutherland of Bartram Trail. Bartram, a 31-24 winner tonight over Oakleaf. We'll certainly have to catch up with Damian Springs, the head coach of Fleming Island, as they are celebrating a district championship tonight. Fleming Island, all they had to do was beat Gainesville Buholtz, and they have done that, 42-19. So Fleming Island remains undefeated, and they are hoisting a district championship. Kevin Brown of Fletcher, they were winners tonight over Creekside. So we got a lot to do, Jacksonville. We're with you till midnight. Glad you're with us. It's the Friday Night Lights postgame presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Gatorade Game of the Week is brought to you by Gatorade G-Series. Hydrate how you train before, during, and after. Stop by your local Winn-Dixie today to fuel up.
There were a lot of great games all over the Northeast Florida area. Certainly one of them, one of the Gatorade Games of the Week this week, was at Sandalwood High School. ESPNU was in town to televise it. It was Mandarin, it was Sandalwood, and the Mandarin Mustangs do it again this week, 34-27 over Sandalwood. Bobby Ramsey is the head coach of Mandarin, and he joins us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congratulations.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Hey, Coach, thank you. And boy, watching the game tonight, it was back and forth. You guys score with about 5 minutes to go in the game to break the 27-all tie. Your defense holds Jeff Sims and Sandalwood's offense, and you guys run out the clock. I mean, how happy, how proud are you of your kids to win, really not only this week, but what they did last week? What back-to-back wins for your program?
I mean, I told them, I said, they're fighters. You know, if anything, you know, can be said, you know, at the end of the day, they're fighters. And, you know, I think as a coach, if you have a group like that, you know, you something you can be proud of. We don't make it easy on ourselves. We definitely, you know, had a, you know, nightmare start to the third quarter, but, you know, they made the decision to come out, drive down and score. Defense went out there and took advantage of the momentum, and, you know, we're able to finish the game and get a win.
You know, you make a great point for people that didn't watch it. Mandarin's up, what, 14-6?
Six, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you snap your fingers, it's 27-14 Sandalwood. And there's a lot of teams that might have tucked tail and went home, but not the defending 8A champions. I mean, you guys just kept battling and battling and battling.
Yeah, I mean, the crowd was into it. Their guys were hyped up. You know, we did things that, you know, if you look at the percentages, you know, return punt, fumble in your own, and give up a defensive score, like, you know, if you look at the percentages, you probably got like a, you know, 92% chance of losing the game if you do those things. And we kept battling. We had enough time to get ourselves out of it, which was good. We, you know, we finished the third quarter strong, and then offensively just played really, really well, you know, from about 5 minutes left in the third quarter on.
You know, Coach, what a spectacle it was. The fact that ESPNU was here broadcasting it says a lot for our area. Carson on one side, Jeff on the other. Just kind of talk about the night it was at Sandalwood and showcasing these two young men that will hopefully go on to college and do great things.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, it's a great, you know, it was a nice night. There was no drama. Both teams, I think, represented their schools the right way. Both quarterbacks definitely displayed the talent. That's why the game was televised in the first place. Sandalwood did a great job hosting. I think it was a great look for Jacksonville. I hope everybody was happy with it.
Well, Mandarin wins over Oakleaf last week, Sandalwood tonight. Coach, now, I mean, look, with those wins, again, I'm not, you know, the analytics guy here, but I would think you probably at this point, do you not control your own destiny? I mean, two more wins and you're probably back in the postseason. Have you started crunching the numbers yet?
I mean, the way we looked at it is we said if we keep winning, we'll keep playing. And so that's kind of what we're looking at right now. I think as the games are played and, you know, those numbers aren't going to move as much once, you know, more points are added in, you know. So, it'll start to kind of take shape. And, you know, the last week or so, you'll have a better idea where you're at, what you have to do. But if we keep winning, we'll keep playing. So we just have to kind of keep going with that.
That's a great motto. If we keep winning, we'll keep playing. Bobby Ramsey of Mandarin. This is their time of year. It's what they did last year. They're doing it again this year. And a big win tonight over Sandalwood. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you, guys.
Really appreciate it. Kevin Brown of Fletcher, big win over Creekside. He is 2 minutes away. Before we get to Coach Brown, let's check in with the good doctor, Kevin Murphy, Southeast Orthopedic Specialist. Of course, they are a big, big reason why we are here under the Friday night lights. Doc Murphy, how are you this week, sir?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Doc, we are wonderful. Denny is en route back from the Sandalwood Mandarin game. Of course, Jeff Sims and Carson Beck, two kids that he trains. He was taken in that action. Doc, I had all this stuff to talk with you about, and then last night, Kansas City-Denver happens, and everything that I had on the agenda for you went out the wayside when Patrick Mahomes does the quarterback sneak. And the good doctor, Kevin Murphy, they snapped his kneecap back into place on the field, it looked like, which was just really tough to watch. Doc, kind of take us through the protocol of what type of injury that is to Mahomes, the fact that his kneecap was put back in place, the MRI showed no structural damage. What was your thought on all that, Doc?
Well, that's pretty routine. When the kneecap dislocates, sometimes people have chronic looseness to their kneecaps, and that's a routine thing for them, which is usually it pops up, pops back in on its own. And in one like his, in a traumatic dislocation, somebody hit it at an angle and it shoves it out. And almost always it goes to the outside laterally, and it'll kind of get stuck on the other side of the femur. So there's kind of a knuckle in your femur, and the kneecap sits in that. And once it gets shoved over the ridge there, it's hard for it to pop back in. And in general, your knee's in a bent position when that happens, and it's kind of stuck there. So a lot of times when you just extend the knee, as you saw, just straightening his knee out, it popped right back in. Sometimes you have to give it a little help and push it in, but most of those, when you extend the knee, it pops back in. But the problem with those, the reason you get the MRI is sometimes you'll shear pieces of cartilage off the back of the kneecap or on that corner of the femur as that dislocates and then comes back in. So you want to make sure there's no little pieces floating around there. As that occurred is the big reason for that MRI.
And we'll talk about the bump and bruise clinics with the good Dr. Kevin Murphy of Southeast Orthopedic Specialists in one moment. Doc, is that the reason he's still going to miss, you know, 4 to 5 weeks of action, even though the MRI was fine, the kneecap got put back into place? You mentioned you got to check and see if everything's still intact. Is that why Mahomes is still looking at about a month on the sideline?
Yeah, well, you know, they say everything's intact, but there's no way your kneecap goes over there without stretching or tearing the structures on the inside of the kneecap. So there's a ligament called the medial patellofemoral ligament, the MPFL. That ligament is either going to be stretched or torn, most always torn to some degree when that thing dislocates. So he has injured something. It's just not to the point. You typically don't fix those acutely. You let it scar in and heal. Now, if some high school kid did that, he's probably out 6 weeks, realistically. You know, these professional guys, they're gonna do some things to try and get him back sooner, obviously. But that's even at 3 weeks when he comes back, he's still going to have some soreness and a feeling of apprehension where, with a brace that he'll have on to hold his kneecap in place, it'll still be a little tenuous that he's a little hesitant in that he'll still have that feeling that his kneecap wants to slide out.
The good Dr. Kevin Murphy of Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. All right, Doc, the Bump and Bruise Clinics tomorrow morning, three locations, Brooks YMCA on the south side, Preferred Physical Therapy, Fleming Island, and Atlas Physical Therapy off of State Road 210. These Bump and Bruise Clinics are designed, Doc, as we tell people every week, if you had a player or a son, if you're a parent or a coach, injured in a game tonight, or if you are a parent of any athlete, high school, middle school, what have you, and you want to get something looked at before school starts back up on Monday, you have the opportunity to do that at these Bump and Bruise Clinics tomorrow morning.
Absolutely. And we've had, you know, any number of athletes or that didn't just do this. They didn't hurt it Friday night. They hurt it 3 months ago, and they want to get checked. And that's fine, too. We'll see all comers. And it's a free service, and we'll assess the injury. You'll see one of the orthopedic surgeons that we have physical therapists there, athletic trainers there. Many of the athletic trainers from the schools that we cover are there. And so we'll get going on treatment right away. And if you need further studies, MRIs, and so forth, we'll get those set up for you next week.
Well, take advantage of these Bump and Bruise Clinics. Again, Brooks YMCA on the south side, Preferred Physical Therapy, Fleming Island, Atlas Physical Therapy off of 210. Doc, 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock in the morning at all three locations. And where will you be tomorrow morning, Doc?
I'll be at the 210, Atlas 210.
Atlas 210 is where the good Dr. Kevin Murphy will be. His colleagues, of course, will be at the other two. Dr. Kevin Murphy, one of the best in the business, Southeast Orthopedic Specialist. Thank you, Doc. Have a great week.
Thanks, buddy.
Always appreciate the good Dr. Kevin Murphy and his support, Southeast Orthopedic support of the Friday Night Lights post-game show. Let's go out to the beach. The Fletcher Senators, big winners tonight over Creekside. Kevin Brown of Fletcher joins us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, thank you for the patience. How are you tonight, sir?
Man, I'm fine. I'll wait any time to boast on my kids, man. That's fun.
Well, Coach, big win tonight, a dominating performance over a good Creekside football team. You know, you said a couple of weeks ago here on the post game that you guys were in must-win mode, and goodness gracious, you're playing your best football of the year over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know, we're in playoff mode. Every game counts. We drop one, we're probably done. So the kids are focused. The intensity is there. And we're playing good. Finally, the defense has clicked. Offense has been doing a good job all year. But that young defense I got is maturing up and starting to understand what people are trying to do to it.
Well, I mean, you look at that defense. You allow 10 points. You allow 17 points. You allow 21 points. I mean, teams are simply, again, 17 points. Teams are just not scoring very much on you. And your offense, by the way, is putting on quite performances. What, three games of at least 38 points over the last month? I mean, really clicking on all cylinders right now out there at Fletcher.
Yeah, that starts with our offensive line. Got a very experienced and talented offensive line. You know, with Brad Ashmore anchoring it and Derek Sims, I got two big 6'6 tackles. And Miles, you know, Miles is just patient and he runs behind him and he knows what Coach Laubach wants. And tonight, you know, Devin pulled it a couple of times. I think he had about a 70-yard scat for a touchdown. So offense is in good position. The defense, you know, they just starting to get the power read and understanding the RPO a little bit and understand reading their keys. They finally have gotten to where they read their keys. And, you know, most of those points in the last 4 weeks have come towards the end of the game. But I like where we're at.
I don't know if you heard Mandarin coach Bobby Ramsey earlier. I kind of like what he said when I asked him about the point system and the playoff rankings. He said, look, if we keep winning, odds are we're going to keep playing. That simplifies it, but that's basically what it is, right, Coach? I mean, if Fletcher, if you guys keep winning, odds are you're going to keep playing football games.
Yeah, we got two left. We got a district game next week with First Coast, and Marty will have his guys ready, trust me. And then I got to end it with Bobby. So, you know, tall task for us, but he's exactly right. With the way this point is going to work, the numbers aren't going to move that much, and it's really going to be affected by the team you play and or the team you beat. So for us, it's like I said, it's playoff mode. Every game we got, we're in playoff mode. So.
Well, it was a big victory tonight over Creekside. Fletcher has now won, what, 4 games in a row for Fletcher. By the way, the last loss you had was 10-7 to a very good Flagler Palm Coast team. I mean, you were right there in that one, too, right there in the middle part of September. So you guys have been playing terrific football for over a month now. And like you said, First Coast next week, Mandarin the week after, and we'll see what happens with the Fletcher Senators. Coach Kevin Brown, Coach, thank you, and best of luck next Friday night, my friend.
Thank you, Hack, and we appreciate what you do.
Thank you, Coach Kevin Brown of Fletcher. All right. Thank you to Bobby Ramsey. Thank you to Kevin Brown. Great job, RJ, lining those up. We're chasing down Daryl Sutherland of Bartram Trail. They got a huge victory over Oakleaf tonight. We're chasing down Damian Springs of Fleming Island. They are district champions after their win over Gainesville Buchholz. We got a lot more to do. We're with you till midnight. Denny Thompson is en route. He will join me in studio after leaving Sandalwood High School. Again, Mandarin, a 34-27 victory over Sandalwood on ESPNU. That game ended about 20 minutes ago. With Denny Thompson, with RJ Saunders, the Hacker Ryan Green with you, it is the Friday Night Lights postgame. We are presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists with you till midnight, right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
I know football.
Now, the Southeast Orthopedic Specialist Coaches Corner on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Well, you get to mid to late October, you start getting district championships, and we have two head coaches on the line that are celebrating district championships right now. Damian Springs of Fleming, Daryl Sutherland of Bartram Trail. Both are coming up in the next 5 minutes. Before we get there, let me welcome in Denny Thompson, fresh back from Sandalwood High School, where you saw Mandarin 34-27 over Sandalwood, the game on ESPNU. Real quick, before Coach Sutherland and Coach Springs, what was it like out there tonight?
It was great. Great atmosphere. I thought Sandalwood did a great job as the host. Thought the game, for the most part, was pretty clean. I thought it showed really well. I mean, it showed good Jacksonville football. So I think both quarterbacks lived up to the billing, and so it was a good game.
You had the unique perspective of training both Carson Beck and Jeff Sims for years, so I'm anxious to talk to you about kind of where you were, highs and lows tonight. We'll certainly get to that.
Where we're going right now is where I wanted to be.
At Bartram
Oakleaf, because I've had both those quarterbacks for years as well. And I heard that was a heck of a game.
Again, Damian Springs of Fleming Island one moment away, but let's first get to Daryl Sutherland of Bartram Trail. They are winners tonight over Oakleaf. They remain undefeated, and they are now celebrating a district championship. Coach, congratulations.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate having me on.
Hey, Coach, 31-24 over Oakleaf. Not only do you remain perfect, but the first year of District 1-8A with Mandarin and Oakleaf and Sandalwood and you guys and Nice. We talked about it all offseason, and the first banner, if you will, goes to Bartram here in 2019. Congratulations on the district title.
Thank you very much. Really proud of our guys. The way they came together and believed in each other and played and fought to the end, I'm just really proud of them.
Hey, Coach, I'm probably not the first to ask you this, but I've got to ask it. How cool is it to be coaching a team and see your son catch a touchdown pass? I heard that happen tonight.
It was. I referred to it when one of the other reporters asked me that. I said, "Yeah, that number 80. He did what he was supposed to do." that's as warm and cuddly as we're going to get.
Good job, Eli. I'll say it then.
Coach, I go back to the Publix Bold City Showcase 2 months ago, and you guys played Lee, and it was the first game of that day at the bowl school, and you guys had a dominating win. And really since then, it's been a crazy ride with unbelievable finishes from St. Augustine to Ponte Vedra, now denied Oak Leaf. But, I mean, you're 8-0 and you're district champions. Did you know this spring or summer that your team could have a very special season?
Well, we've definitely seen the potential in this group just because they do care so much. They care about getting better. They care about each other. They really, you know, it makes it exciting when you see guys getting excited for each other. And they really care about each other's success. So when you see those types of ingredients, and also when you see some of your best players or your hardest workers, it gives you a pretty good feeling that there's a chance to be special.
You know, I love hearing you say that, Coach, because obviously your quarterback tore his ACL last year. And, I mean, just the work he put in and how hard he had to work to get back and be ready for the start of the season this year, does that kind of set the tone for everybody else to say, hey, this is a leader and he's working to get back in July? We got to keep up?
It does. He's done an awesome job. And he's done an awesome job, not just leading by example. You know, his teammates have seen the grueling road he's taken to get back and the time and effort that he's put in to be ready to lead them on the field. But he's also done a great job as a vocal leader. His teammates know that he genuinely cares about them and wants them to be successful. He's not just I'm going to deflect praise because that's what I'm supposed to do. You can see it in his heart. He wants his teammates to be successful.
Yeah. Well, and this isn't just an 8-0 for 8-0's sake. This is wins over Lee and Creekside and Mandarin and St. Aug and Ponte Vedra and denied Oak Leaf. I mean, you guys have a incredible resume. You still got games, by the way, against Sandalwood and Rains. But I guess the interesting thing now, Coach, as opposed to years past, a district championship with 2 weeks to go. But now with the new point system, you probably still want to win these games, right, to have the highest seed that you possibly can.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. And we have. We've played a really group of fantastic teams. We've played a very tough schedule. And tonight, you know, the Oak Leaf staff did an awesome job. Those kids played their tails off. It was a great football game. But, yeah, you know, we're really and I know it sounds a little bit like coach speak, but we're coming in with just one game at a time. And really it's one Monday at a time and then one Tuesday at a time. So that's what we challenged the guys. We said, we want to come back, you know, get healthy and take care of ourselves this weekend, but come back on Monday. And we got to find a way to be better this Monday than we were last Monday.
Well, Coach, congratulations, Darryl Sutherland of Bartram Trail, 31-24 winners tonight over Oak Leaf and the Bartram Trail Bears, our District 1 8A champions. Congrats, Coach.
Hey, thanks. God bless. Have a great weekend.
Darryl Sutherland of Bartram. Damium Springs in 30 seconds. Real quick, Denny. Harsh reality of high school football. Oak Leaf.
Yeah.
Has lost three games by a combined 10 points.
Yep.
Odds are they're probably not going to go to the postseason.
It is. And it always seems to be Oak Leaf.
I remember one year they went 8-2 and didn't get in.
Yeah, and they were probably one of the, you know, five or six best teams in their classification. Could have made a run that year. Very talented Oak Leaf team. Just kind of the way the ball bounces sometimes.
There's no question about it.
Think about it. 3 weeks ago, everything was good at Oak Leaf.
Yeah, and then
that's
last
the crazy
2 weeks.
Thing. Yep.
It goes like that. Well, let's go to Clay County tonight. A district championship is being celebrated at Fleming Island High School. Head coach Damium Springs and the Golden Eagles. Winners tonight over Gainesville Buholtz 42-19, and District 2 7A belongs to Fleming Island. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you.
Coach, what was the reaction like after the game? You guys as well, just like Bartram, you played a hard schedule. You beat great teams like Fletcher and Creekside and First Coast and now tonight Buholtz. And, boy, that's a much-deserved district championship.
Yes, sir. It was a relieving feeling after the game. You know, you've been waiting for it all the way up to since probably about week four for this game right here, and it was a relieving feeling.
Coach, it's interesting to see, you know, you guys still have not lost a game, and you start looking at you guys' score, and we've talked about this a lot. You guys are putting up points. You've got a good defense. Like, the formula's there. And I always thought it was interesting when you wrap something up this early and you still got two games left, that combination of working on that week's opponent but it's continuing to try to get better for a playoff run. How do you balance that?
Well, our kids know that. They know that we have to win out to win the district. But I really didn't say that we was district champs tonight after the victory. I still saying that we still got to win out to win the district and then let the chips fall where they fall.
Well, and, you know, like we said with Daryl Sutherland, you know, 3 years ago, you win tonight. Maybe you might rest some kids, something along those lines. But with the way the 7A points are, just like in every classification, you know, wins over Atlantic Coast and Orange Park may mean the difference between a 2 seed and a 3 seed or what have you, which could mean a home playoff game, say in round 2. So you need to win as many games as you can, which, Coach, to be honest, is why I like this point system, because it makes every game in the regular season mean something.
Yes, sir. Every game means something. So that's why we want to try to win out. And I think we dropped a little bit overall because, I guess, our opponent's record. But so that's why it's very important that we win out.
And, Coach, I asked you this a couple weeks ago, but just humor me here because you did win a district title tonight. When you were competing in the spring and you had summer drills, I mean, you're 7-0 and you're a district champion tonight. Did you have an inkling that this could be a special ball club even back in the spring?
Yes, sir. In the spring, we knew we was going to be special the way that, you know, you didn't have to motivate the kids to practice. You didn't have to motivate them to run condition. I mean, they was running just top speed and competing, and it was a great atmosphere. That's one of the best springs we had. Those guys was just competing and getting after it.
Well, a much-deserved district title. District 2 7A belongs to Fleming Island. They are winners tonight over Gainesville Buholtz, 42-19. Head coach Damian Springs of Fleming. Coach, congratulations, my friend.
Thank you.
Big win tonight for Fleming Island. Their two games remaining are Atlantic Coast and Orange Park. All right. 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. I want to get with Denny about Mandarin Sandalwood, about Carson Beck and Jeff Sims. You've had a pretty interesting week with TV cameras, ESPNU being in town. They even talked on the broadcast about how Carson and Jeff train together twice a week and have so for the last couple of years. Well, they train with you.
Right.
So what was your mindset tonight seeing two of your kids that you know so much about and have helped out and done all that? You know, what was it like seeing them? And what was basically a playoff game tonight. Mandarin does win. Sandalwood's postseason hopes are all but over now. I can only imagine what it was like for you on the sideline.
Yeah, it's – I mean, we – you know, I get to do this every week, and we're so lucky that we've got so many quarterbacks here in the First Coast area that we can pick a game where we have two. And this one, yeah, you're right, because of the cameras and because of the extra attention, it wasn't just ESPNU, but Elite 11 on NFL Network has been here all week or since Wednesday, I guess. And so they had, you know, a full camera crew there. So there was a little extra to it, but you just pull for points.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
you wanted to see 58-57 tonight.
I think at one point it was 27-27, and I was like, man, I just wish the store, I just wish the scoreboard would stop. I wish the lights would shut off. I just, because, you know, as close as Carson and Jeff is, one of their season is effectively ended.
Yeah, I mean, tonight was basically a playoff game out there.
And to see, you know, at the end of the game, Sandalwood was a home team, so I stood on Sandalwood's side most of the time, you know, and to see, you know, Jeff just, you know, devastated, and, you know, you hug on him a little bit, and then you walk right over, and Carson's elated.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just one of those things where you don't really know how to feel, but I thought they both played well. Carson made a bad mistake late in the game, and you know, I think that's probably the first thing he'll say to me when we get together tomorrow. But, you know, I thought they both showed why they're one of the two of the 11 best quarterbacks in the country. They're elite for a reason, and I think they both showed that tonight.
Well, and tip your cap to Mandarin. I mean, Mandarin's 3-3 after they get just run out of the stadium by St. Thomas Aquinas. You know, things are not going well. They got a lot of young kids they're playing. You almost kind of wrote them off, kind of like you did last year when they were 1-3, right? But then in the last 2 weeks, they go to Oakleaf and beat Oakleaf by 1. Now they go to Sandalwood, beat Sandalwood by a touchdown. All of a sudden you look and the defending 8A state champions are 5-3 and maybe peaking at the exact right time. much like they did a year ago.
Yeah, you're right. And they've got that last year to call on as experience. Now, a lot of those guys are gone. And even tonight, you could tell, I mean, there's still, you know, some drop balls, some misassignments, you know, and then there's going to be that. But a lot better than what we saw in the Bowl City showcase, whatever it was, 2 months ago. And they just continue to get a little bit better each and every week, and they've got a good base of players already there. So, I mean, hats off to that staff, because as a staff, to try to recreate what you did the year before after a bad start, it's tough, man. I mean, you got to go out there and grind every single day, and it's hot out there. You know, and to keep those guys bought in, that is a tough thing with a bunch of 16, 17-year-olds.
We'll give you a complete scoreboard rundown, not only tonight's action. We'll look back to last night as well. May try to sneak in some more victorious head coaches. I know a lot of games have gone final. Baker County, a big win over West Nassau. St. Augustine, a big win over Nice. So we'll try to get some more victorious head coaches as well. With Denny Thompson, the Hacker Ryan Green with you. It's the Friday Night Lights postgame. We are presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists right here on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM.
Gatorade, sports fuel for performance athletes. Proud sponsor of Friday Night Lights on 1010XL. Look for the world's number one sports drink at your local Winn-Dixie today.
It is the Friday Night Lights postgame. We are presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Also, Gatorade on board this week as well. Welcome to Gatorade for bringing us the Friday Night Lights postgame show. We got a lot of victorious head coaches with Denny Thompson, the Hacker Ryan Green with you here in the 11 o'clock hour. Let's go rapid fire. We will begin with a game you heard right here on 1010XL. The Bulls Bulldogs, a 41-7 winner over Clay this evening. Matthew Toblin is the head coach of Bulls, now winners of six games in a row. And Coach Toblin joins us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Coach, dominating effort. Listen to the ball game on my drive in. 41-0 Clay scores on literally the final play of the game. But you must have been very pleased with the way your kids played tonight.
No, 100%. I mean, our kids played tough, and that's a physical football group that does a great job, a big back who tries to fall forward. And, you know, our kids played well and played with mistake-free football, and so it was awesome.
What is that? Is that six in a row or seven in a row?
Six in a row.
Six in a row. Six in a row. Last home game, last regular season home game next week. It's crazy how fast this flew by, isn't it? I mean, first year at Bowls, last home game this coming week. Has it gone the way you thought it would go?
I mean, you never know. I mean, you never know how you're going to adapt. I mean, and I think every coach knows that there are swing moments here or there where, hey, look, if this play doesn't go our way, we lose that game, and we probably have these issues, and we lose another game. And so football is, it's finicky. And that, you know, making plays in clutch situations doesn't just change a game, it changes seasons. And so, you know, we're fortunate that our guys found ways to make those plays, and when things didn't go our way, we found ways to bounce back. And so, I probably would not have guessed we'd be here where we are right now. But you know, we're excited.
But Bowls is different though, right? I mean, that's like, it's almost like if you give me that answer with just about any other school, I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. But there's so many, I don't want to call them mysteries, but it's been the same thing at Bowls for so long and so successful. I guess what my question really is Bowls what you thought it would be? I know it's like a dream job for you.
No, I mean, Bowls is, it's special, and it's, I think the thing that I tell people who ask me that question and is that, you know, at every program we've tried to be at, we try to get a group of players to commit to a cause greater than self and chase excellence and chase the idea of like, look, how much better can I be in all facets of my life? Mm-hmm. And that we've been able to build that culture places, and at Bowls, it's there, it's everywhere. Like, it's the soccer team does that, the swim team does that, the athletes do that. Like, everybody is just trying to be better. And so it's been awesome to not just have that in our program, but to have it everywhere.
Now, Coach, correct me if I'm wrong, and Matthew Toblin of Bowls, and you still have two regular season games left, and I don't want to jump the gun, but just so I'm clear, in 4A, you have the opportunity to have a bye in round one of the playoffs. I mean, that would be vital. I believe you guys were number two in the rankings that came out this week, so if you keep winning games, you'll get a bye, which I would have to think, Coach, is the goal at this point.
No. I mean, I know this sounds like Coach speak, and no one's going to believe me, but we're focused on making sure that we're getting better each week and every time we go out, and like that stuff will take care of itself. I have long since given up on the math formulas and the opponents' games. We're going to worry about what we can do and keep winning games, and we'll see what happens, but we've got to be better, and the team that comes in next week, John Carroll throws the ball really well, is dynamic a quarterback, and we're going to have a massive challenge, and it'll be good for us to kind of push ourselves and see how much better we can get versus teams that do things a little bit different.
Well, winners of six in a row. Final question for you, Coach. Listening to the game tonight, seemed like it was dominant on both the offensive and defensive line. Just talk about the big uglies up front on both sides of the ball and the job they're doing for you.
It is, and you're right. I mean, I think everybody, all football coaches would say, hey, look, it starts up front, and we're extremely fortunate. Coach Lawrence and Coach Todd Fordham on the offensive line, and we've got kids that are doing a great job, and fortunate for us, a lot of them are underclassmen. Cooper Fordham's a freshman, Reed Collins is a sophomore, Elias Batten has moved over from defense over to the offensive side of the ball and is kind of starting both ways for us right now. Cam Neal's returning starting offensive lineman from last year is only going to be a junior, and they are physical and they go. And then Ford Milne is the right tackle as a junior. And so we're ecstatic about the leaps and bounds they've made and what they've been able to do in terms of establishing line of scrimmage. And Clay made it tough, and they loaded the box and forced us to do other things. And then on the defensive side of the ball, there's too many to name because we roll so many guys and we play with so many people in. But, David Alawale and Hayden Schwartz have been terrorists to block. And that, we're very fortunate. Coach Bradford, Coach Pye, Coach Toman, who has been at Bowles for 20 years, coaching those guys. And it does. It all starts up front. And really, it's because they have to go against each other in practice every day.
Yeah,
and they get after it.
It's crazy how fast time flies, man. I'm just sitting here listening to Coach Toblin talk, and just like I just had a flashback, Coach, of like your first year back in this area. I think I was at Providence. I was OC at Providence, and he was the DC at Ponte Vedra. And I don't even know what year that was. Like, I have no idea what year that was. And now just to think, like, since that's happened, which didn't seem like that long ago, he's been a crazy successful head coach at Ponte Vedra and now at Bowles. Like, it's just crazy how fast this stuff flies by, man.
Well, I'm lucky. I surround myself with good people and try to ride them as best I can. And so, it's been awesome, and I've been super fortunate. And it was. I remember that game. You beat us, by the way.
We did.
You ran the ball down our throat.
Yes, we did. I wasn't going to bring it up, Coach.
Well, Coach, congratulations. Bowles has now won six in a row, including tonight, 41-7 over the Clay Blue Devils. Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, guys.
Matthew Toblin of Bowles. We are about 2 minutes away from going to St. John's County, catching up with Brian Braddock of St. Augustine. Before we get there, it was a big win tonight for University Christian, 41-31 over Baldwin. Let's get David Penlin of University Christian up here under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Scoring the points. Heck, you hear this?
It's a big win, man. 41 points for your offense, Coach. And look, you knew Baldwin was going to score. They've scored all year, but you guys, you outscored them tonight.
Yeah, we had three or four touchdowns called back also, so should have been a little worse than that. But it is what it is. Our guys played really well. We're running the ball really well right now, so it's hard to stop three monsters in the backfield.
Who are those guys? You know what, Willie's kids won, right? Max McClendon?
Max, Joe Carter, and Arthur Fat Walker.
Okay. Okay. I mean, did we get any of those points putting the ball in the air tonight? Or
what'd you say?
Did we get any of these points in the air, or was it all on the ground?
It was all on the ground.
Dadgummit.
Yeah, all on the ground. We were right. I think we had over 400 yards rushing tonight.
Well, University Christian getting it done. Only one loss on the year again. Like we said on Wednesday during the midday show, that loss wasn't even to a team in the state of Florida. UC is perfect inside the Sunshine State. Coach, I mean, as you start preparing, I mean, let's be honest here, as you start looking ahead to the 2A postseason, are you guys where you want to be right now, or what needs to be the biggest thing to be improved upon before postseason play begins?
Well, Yeah, we just need to clean some stuff up on both sides of the ball. Every week we need to get better, obviously, and there's room for improvement for both sides of the ball. So we'll be working on that, just trying to do the right things and you know, miss certain stuff that we should be missing. And, our coaches do a good job of figuring it out and getting these guys ready for the week.
I haven't really paid much attention to this whole point situation. But the thing I am curious on, what does this do to the annual second round North Florida Christian matchup?
Well, as it sits right now, we'll get a bye. And then if we'll either play them, it might play them the first round here.
Which would be the second round overall.
Second round overall. So now with the new system, it's like last year we played them in the third round. So this year we might play them in the first round and then have like McClay or somebody like that in the third round and then probably Victory in the fourth and then the state championship.
Well, we always talk about University Christian season starts when they play Tallahassee North Florida Christian,
right?
Usually early to mid-November. So that's probably going to be the case again this year. Two more games to go in the regular season, Crescent City and Bishop Kenny, but University Christian, a big win tonight over a very good Baldwin team. Take nothing away from Baldwin. That's a talented team. They were last year. They are again this year. But UC gets it done 41-31. David Penland is their head coach. Hey, Coach, congratulations on a big win tonight.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Coach. David Penland of UC. Let's get one more in. Brian Braddock of St. Augustine. Big winners tonight in a shootout. 55-45 over Nice. Coach Braddock joins us under the Friday Night Lights. Coach, congratulations.
Thanks, man. Crazy game. Excited to get the win.
Well, Coach, anytime you beat a team inside St. John's County, it's a big deal, and we know what the Nice-St. Augustine rivalry is and certainly was back in the days of Tebow and Brandon James. Just kind of talk about the game tonight, and obviously it was an offensive shootout on both sides.
Yeah. Our quarterback had a tremendous night. I think Sammy Edwards had six touchdown passes, and our receivers played probably their best game of the year. Jose Blanco had three, and I think Jaden McDowell and Daquan Stanley had one or two apiece. And our offensive line did a really good job of protecting. We were able to maybe take advantage of some matchups. They're really explosive offensively. They got one of the fastest players in the area, a kid named Ahmad Bradshaw. And their quarterback's a really good dual threat guy. And that's a quality team, even though they've been on the tough end of some tough games. So we were glad to get the win.
You know, this is what I like to hear, though. We just hang up with Coach Penland, who ran the ball for 500 yards. And Sammy's already texting me, Coach, six touchdowns. That's huge. That's huge. He's had a big couple of weeks the last month or so. Just talk about the quarterback play that you've gotten out of him recently.
Yeah. You know, we weren't real happy with where we were after the Bulls game. We thought we had a lot of things there that were available, and we just didn't execute, so we kind of went back to the drawing board. And maybe we got some two-way guys playing receiver, and we just simplified some things and simplified, you know, and it really made some demands of Sammy to stand in there, stand tall in the face of pressure and deliver the football. And I think the next game we played Bartram, and he threw for over 300 yards, and pretty much since then he's played at a really high level. So, and speaking of Bulls, by the way, Matt Tobin's full of crap. He told me back in August they're winning state championship. whatever he tells you guys, whatever.
But you know what? Real quick, one thing you said a second ago, and we mention this every week, but it's a common theme every single week about Nice, is I know they've only won one game, but everybody that comes on this show, Hacker, talks about how good Nice is.
Well, and look at the teams Nice has played. They've played Murderers Row.
And they still got Oak Leaf next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Drafts has done a heck of a job out there in year number one, hadn't he?
Well, if you it doesn't take long in person, obviously, but it doesn't take long in the film to look at how much enthusiasm those kids are playing with and how hard they're playing, and to find out real quick that he's doing a tremendous job. So I even told some of their kids after the game that I have a ton of respect for how hard they're playing and how hard they're obviously preparing. So he's a really good football coach, and he's that offense is a lot to deal with. And you know, they put up some points against some really good defenses. Mm-hmm. And we fully expected tonight to be a challenging game. I mean, heck, you know, you go back to week one. Nice is 1-7. Ponte Vedra 7-1. Ponte Vedra scored with about 30 seconds left to win.
Right. Yep.
So I mean, that kind of tells you the story. You know, they've had some tough luck losses. That's a good team, and I have a feeling with Coach Drafts, they're going to be a team to be reckoned with for a while.
Brian Braddock of St. Augustine. All right, Coach, we were here last week with you, and you didn't want to talk about Ponte Vedra because it was all about Nice. Well, now that the Nice game is over, you got the W. Now next week is what it is. It's a district championship game. Ponte Vedra was off tonight, getting ready. I'm sure you have put the Nice game to bed probably at this point. You might even start watching film of Ponte Vedra tonight. Winner wins the district next Friday. Really, it's a game what high school football is all about. Should be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I mean, it's going to be so fun. And we're going to the Shark Tank, and I'm sure the place will be going crazy. The mascot, the fuzzy shark, he'll be hanging off the lifeguard tower going eight. I told Matt when he was at Ponte Vedra, I was like, when I grow up, I want to be the shark on your lifeguard tower. you've not lived until you watch that shark. That shark is entertaining.
I may have to go out to that one next week.
It's going to be fun. And I mean, and I told our kids tonight after our game, that team, that Ponte Vedra team, they are the epitome of a team that knows how to win and the epitome of a team, more importantly, that knows how not to lose. Mm-hmm. And boy, they're well coached. Coach DeSandro has done an amazing job, and they play airtight football and are very immature and dangerous. We're dangerous to others and dangerous to ourselves. Football team has a humongous task, and we've got to really play well. It's going to be a big challenge because even though they have a new coach, they're a pretty mature team, and we are not. And we're going to need to block out all the distractions and just have tunnel vision and focus on doing our job for us to have a chance against them.
Well, not only St. John's County bragging rights, but the District 4 6A title will be on the line next week, Ponte Vedra and St. Augustine. Brian Braddock of Ponte Vedra, congrats on the win tonight, Coach.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Really appreciate Brian Braddock of St. Augustine. You got to love it. You got two district championship games next Friday night. You got District 4 6A there with Ponte Vedra and with St. Augustine. And then the most improbable game of the year, the District 3 5A championship, will be on the line. A district that includes Baker County, a district that includes Bishop Kenny, and a district that includes Ed White. And the District 3 5A title will be decided between Terry Parker and Westside. I think it is one of the best stories, Denny, that maybe we've had in quite some time. Just because it's two programs, it's so hard. And you know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It's so hard to turn that corner, man. I mean, how many times have we talked Terry Parker football here on the Friday Night Lights postgame over the last 5 years? Mm-hmm. How many times have we honestly talked Westside football on this postgame over the last 5 years? But these two programs have coaches in place now, and that corner has been turned, and one of them will win a district championship next Friday.
You know, we hear every Friday, we get this amazing opportunity to hear all these different coaches call. And remember, we're talking to the winning coaches. We're not talking to the losing coaches. We're talking to the winning coaches, and they're exhausted. Like, I mean, half of them don't have a voice. Half of them sound like they just lost. Like, it is so hard to win football games. Now, you've got your couple on your schedule that, you know, you win easily. But for the most part, it is so hard to win football games. And it's even harder when you've got a team that's not used to winning football games. And it's even harder than that when you've got a team that's not used to winning football games that finds themselves in contention. And that's where I'm going. It's like this game next Friday night is going to be who's better prepared, and really it's very simple. Who makes the least amount of mistakes?
Right.
It's not even big plays. They both have big play threats. It's who makes the first mistake and who makes the least amount of mistakes wins the football game. And as a coach, I was told very early in my coaching career from a guy named David King, who was the head coach of University Christian. And he said, in a big game, just make sure that you don't make the first mistake, right? As a play caller. If your player makes it, whatever. Just you don't make it. And I remember when he told me that, I'm like, whatever. Well, he's right. And I learned that through, you know, the 10 or 12 years that I spent coaching is, if you haven't been in that situation, man, it's hard to understand. And you know, it's the coach that holds out the longest, it's the players that holds out the longest on the mistakes that wins these big games.
That is Denny Thompson. I'm the Hacker Ryan Green, and you are the City of Jacksonville. We're glad you're with us under the Friday Night Lights. We are presented by Southeast orthopedic specialist. We'll come back and we'll start looking at these different classifications. Only one more week of district play. We had district champions crowned tonight. We will crown district champions next week, and we'll start looking at postseason hopes, who is still alive, who is probably done at this point and will not make the postseason. We're with you to midnight, Jacksonville. Glad you're with us. Friday Night Lights postgame rolls on here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Time now for the Gatorade Run to the Championship. Fuel up for the run to the state title with Gatorade at your local Winn-Dixie. We'll follow our teams on the First Coast all through the state playoffs with Gatorade.
With Denny Thompson, the Hacker, Ryan Green with you, the Friday Night Lights postgame presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialist. The Gatorade Run to the Championship. Here's the situation, Denny. 3 weeks from tonight. 3 weeks from tonight is round one of the FHSAA high school football state playoffs in the state of Florida. Let's kind of go classification by classification. I'll throw a couple of teams at you, kind of let you know where they stand. You give me your overall thoughts. 1A, Fort White, Hilliard, Union County's pretty good, but we don't spend a lot of time there.
They got beat tonight by Hawthorne.
Did they? All right, so that surprises me, as a matter of fact. But we'll go to 2A. We'll go to your alma mater. Okay. University Christian. Big win tonight over Baldwin. University Christian, as we said earlier, they have not lost a game to a team from the state of Florida. Their only loss came in North Carolina at the beginning of the year. UC playing some very good football right now.
Yeah, playing great ball. Great ball. I mean, it's the same thing at UC every year, and this year is no different. And I don't think North Florida Christian is very good. That's part of the reason I asked that question is you got to get to – Daytona, is that where it's at this year, Daytona?
There's some that are in – it's like half in Daytona, half are in Tallahassee. It's like a half and half situation, I think.
You got to play the last game.
Right,
wherever
exactly.
You got to
play
at
a state title somewhere.
Yeah, that's the goal at University Christian. And, you know, some years it really just kind of depends on what the South looks like. But some years you got to win it to be successful. Other years, like when they played that Chompin' Knot team a couple years ago who had, you know, like eight Division I kids, that's understandable.
Yeah.
Right? But at the very least, it's getting to that final game.
And you could tell, and you know Penland pretty well. I remember talking to him at high school media day. The last 2 years, postseason losses for UC bothered him. I mean, they're used to, certainly playing for state titles, but winning state titles, and particularly the loss to North Florida Christian last year, that, you know, I think got under his skin pretty good. They kind of got out physicaled, and he said that was not going to happen again.
Yeah, it's something about you walk out there and you've got these great facilities at University Christian, you know, two turf fields, but bigger than all of that is you got this big banner that's hanging with all the state championships on it. And, you know, people may say that's not a big deal, but when you're a coach or a player there, you see that every single day. And if you, at the end of the year, you don't add to that banner, it's like, well, we didn't do anything here that hasn't been done 30 times, you know. And so I think, you know, that does – UC is one of the few that I think if they said, hey, I don't care. I think Trinity's like this too. I don't care if we go 6-4 during the year as long as we win a state championship. That's true.
Right.
That's true. Nobody remembers the regular season at UC.
Let me throw some 3A teams at you, all right? And I am going to throw my alma mater. I know you've had some fun with this, but Wolfson is 6-2. And if the playoffs started today, Wolfson would actually be in based on the rankings. But 3A, you got a lot of teams in our area that would make the postseason. Baldwin would be in. Episcopal would be in, Trinity Christian would obviously be in, and Wolfson would be in, and Jackson's scratching and clawing to try to get in. 3A is going to looks like anyway, 3A is going to be well represented in the state playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. I mean, there's a bunch of teams that have a chance to get in, and I think Baldwin's shown, especially tonight, I think in a loss to UC, who played really good defense all year. Putting up the points they did, they could possibly make some noise. You know, you look at, and I'm not, listen, Wolfson, I love what they're doing. I love how much fun they're having. I love the whole thing. But Wolfson Trinity?
Oh, right. Well, Trinity anybody.
No, that's very true. But what I'm saying is it's like, that's the reality of it here.
Sure.
The reality is you're not getting past round two.
And you know what the reality also is? I don't care if they lose by 100.
And you're exactly right.
They could play in the round one of the playoffs, and they could lose 87-3. And I'm not going to care because they made the playoffs.
And it's something to build off of.
Sure.
It's something to build off of. And I think – and that's why I brought up Baldwin, because I think Baldwin is the only one that you mentioned outside of Trinity in that list that their expectation is going to be more than to just make it. They're going to want to win a game. Episcopal, maybe. I don't know, like, where they stand in this whole thing. I don't know from a point perspective or anything like that where they stand. They've got some horses at Episcopal, but kind of the same thing. It's there's Trinity and there's everybody else, obviously. That's an obvious statement. Would Episcopal be happy just making it, or would they need to win one? That's an interesting question. I don't know. I know Baldwin needs to win one to be happy.
Yeah, because Baldwin feels like they let one get away last year because they had a great regular season. Yeah. They lost in round one last year, left a bad taste in a lot of mouths. Baldwin wants to win a playoff game this year.
Yeah, and they did let a big one go last year. But, you know, I don't know. The Episcopal one, that is a very – I'm actually pulling them up right now. I mean, they're, what, 8-1 it says? That can't be right. They haven't played 9 games.
They've only lost one. I know that.
I guess they have played 9 games. They're off, and then they play their final game at Stanton.
Yeah, Episcopal's had a very good year.
Yeah, yeah. But see, like, this is what I mean. Their one loss, Baldwin, 35-7.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that – and that's the caliber of team that's going to be in there. So, yeah, I mean, would they like to win one? Sure. But I think at the end of the day, if you're 9-1 and you go to the playoffs for Episcopal, it's a different level of building – but it's like Wolfson, we're building towards the bigger goal.
Let me throw two teams in 4A at you. Now, West Nassau lost tonight, hard-fought game. Baker County beat them 27-24. It's only the second loss of the year for West Nassau. And then, obviously, Bowles and what they're doing. So, those are the two teams. Bradford, Fernandina Beach as well. But mainly 4A is going to be about Bowles and going to be about West Nassau. Your thoughts on those two as the regular season begins to wind down?
I mean, Bowles is obvious. Bowles is kind of like same thing as University Christian. We got to get to the end, right, to be satisfied, to be happy. I think West Nassau is in that boat of, you know, we need to win one, maybe two, maybe practice. We need to practice on Thanksgiving. And if I practice on Thanksgiving, then you know what, that's a pretty dang good year. And then if we make anything from there, it's kind of gravy. But they've obviously shown the last couple of years they've had back-to-back-to-back really good years. That's a team, you know, we just mentioned Episcopal losing the ball, and they beat ball 42-32. They've had some big wins. They've beat Bradford. They played Baker County really good tonight. Played Lee okay. I mean, I want to say going in the fourth quarter, that was a really good game against Lee. So I would think they're going in with a lot of confidence, and they would expect to win one or two.
You know, we talk about district championship games next week. I'm currently looking here. Is Menendez and Orange Park a district championship game next week?
I have no idea.
I think it might be because Menendez beat Ridgeview. They already have a win over Clay. So Menendez, and they beat Eastside. So Menendez is perfect in district play.
Why the hell hasn't McPherson called us tonight?
That's a great point.
We could have this answered.
It is kind of late. You look at Orange Park. With head coach Tom McPherson in Orange Park, they beat Eastside tonight. They have wins over Ridgeview. Menendez in Orange Park is a district championship game next week. Wow. So there's three of them. You got Parker and Westside. You got St. Aug Ponte Vedra. And you have Menendez and Orange Park. So let's start there talking about the 5A programs. What about Menendez and Orange Park next week?
Well, I think the winner's as happy as they can be. I think Orange Park, obviously, because they haven't – it's been a little while for them. Menendez, because of what they lost last year and shown the ability, hey, you know what, we can do it again. And you know, they made a run last year. But I think the winner of that game next week is kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, that was a huge check mark for our season. And then, you know, I don't know their goals going forward, but anything in the playoffs past that, I would have to think would be gravy. Now, if they got on here, they wouldn't admit that. But from where I'm sitting in both of those situations, Menendez, because of how much you lost, in Orange Park, because how far you had to come to get here, I think that would be considered a very successful season.
As we've been talking about all year, Orange Park has not made the postseason since Oak Leaf High School was open about 10 years ago. Hard to believe it's been that long. Rains is getting hot, man, in 5A. The defending back-to-back 4A state champion, Raines Vikings, they are getting hot. They win over Sandalwood. They win over Rebalt. They beat Yulee last night. And all of a sudden you look, and the Raines Vikings are 5-2 and playing some of their best football of the year.
Yeah, I think they're going to be an interesting to watch, an interesting team to watch, because they're doing it in different ways each week. So we all know they've got the athletes. They know what they're doing over there. That Raines-Bartram game is going to be fun to watch.
Raines-Bartram is going to be a great game.
That's going to be fun to watch, and I am very interested to see how Raines performs in the postseason.
We talk about Tom McPherson of Orange Park. The head coach, Tom McPherson.
Tommy Mack
of Orange Park. So, Coach, we're just talking out loud here, and correct us if we're wrong, you and Menendez is for a district title next week.
Yeah, I appreciate the public call-out. I got a text from somebody.
Well, I mean big win tonight, obviously, but you know, we're talking about Parker and Westside next week, and we're talking about St. Aug and Ponte Vedra, all these district championship games. And then we start looking there at District 5, 5A, and all of a sudden we see Menendez 3-0, Orange Park 3-0. What an atmosphere, what a game that should be next Friday between you and Menendez.
Yeah, I mean, we knew after last week, after the Ridgeview Eastside game, you know, we kind of did all the math in our head, kind of figured out that it was going to come down to us and Menendez either way. And even if we had a loss, we knew that, you know, if we won that game when we were head-to-head, we'd win the tiebreaker. So, you know, an interesting week to go out and get a win at Eastside. You know, good, tough atmosphere to play in, and a lot of difficult situations in the game. So to pull out a win there was amazing, and a tribute to our kids again and the adversity that they've gone through. And, you know, it's just a tough week to get ready for. When in the back of my mind, I knew we were going to play Menendez for a championship next week, regardless what happened. But, you know, our kids still went out and got a win, and it's going to be a great game because, you know, has Menendez ever won a championship?
They didn't. Did they not win it last year?
I know they won. They won a couple of playoff games last year. I would think they won a district title last year. I'd have to go back and look.
I don't know if they've ever won the district. I know they've had some really good years the past couple of years and have made the playoffs. But you know, you're talking about a situation where you got a team that maybe has never won a district title going against.
You know, they didn't won one because they were with Baker County last year.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So I mean, I think when you look at it, you got a school that hasn't won one going against a school that hasn't won one since 2010. So it's going to be a great opportunity for both programs. And we've been on the road for a month, four straight road games. And, you know, to get to come home and play for a district championship on senior night with the kids that started the program when I took the job is pretty special for me and our kids in Orange Park football.
Well, and that's what I was – when we were talking about, that's what I was saying. What we were doing was we were kind of going through each classification. And we got to you guys, you know, what does a successful season mean? And you can call me out, Coach, if I'm wrong, but given the time that it's been since Orange Park has been to the playoffs or won a district title, you win that game next week, and I know you want to win some games in the playoffs, but that's got to validate the season, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anybody out there that's going to expect a different answer from me, but nowadays, the thing you got to validate is keeping kids at your own school, and you've got to do things like that to keep kids at your school.
Yep.
You've got to be able to compete for district championships, and you know the legislature has done what they've done. It is what it is. I've gone on, you know, rants a million times about it. It's getting harder and harder every day to keep kids at your school, and if you want to keep kids at your school, you got to have some success and play for district titles, and you know, try and get kids in college and all those things, and. You know, so, I mean, it's bigger than just a district championship. It's bigger than just making the playoffs. You're kind of, you know, you're kind of fighting to keep kids in your neighborhood, as bad as that sounds. Everybody knows it. Everybody's aware of it. I may be one of the few people that are willing to say it on the radio, but it is what it is. So it's bigger than that for us. It's about getting legitimacy in your program. It's about shutting down the street agents and the people that want to tell your kids to go to other schools. So it's a long time coming. It's been a long work in progress, and I'm just so happy that our kids are going to get a chance to experience it.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the win tonight. It will be Orange Park and Menendez next Friday for the District 5, 5A title. Tom McPherson of Orange Park here with us under the Friday Night Lights. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you guys for everything you do, and good luck to everybody playing for a title next week.
Appreciate that. So we have not one, not two, but three district championship games next week. District 5, 5A, Menendez and Orange Park. District 3, 5A, Westside and Parker. And District 4, 6A, Ponte Vedra and St. Augustine. That is going to be some night. We had a couple district champions crowned tonight. District 2, 7A, belongs to Fleming Island. They are district champions after their win over Gainesville Buholtz. And District 1, 8A, belongs to Bartram Trail after Bartram defeats Oakleaf tonight, 31-24. We'll come back, final segment, put a wrap on this week's edition of the Friday Night Lights postgame. We are presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists right here on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM.
The Friday Night Lights shine bright.
Friday Night Lights.
Presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists on 1010XL.
Final segment here. Friday Night Lights postgame presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. Also thanks to Gatorade for hopping on board for the final month leading in to the state playoffs. All right, Denny, every week on 1010XL.com, I do a power poll where I give my top five. This week's power poll had Bartram Trail 1. I had Lake City Columbia 2. I had Lee 3. This was prior to last night. I had Fleming Island 4. I had Bowles number 5. I still think Lee is one of the better teams in the area. They have lost 3 games now, so you got to take that into account a little bit. But the bottom line is that teams are separating themselves, and boy, Bartram Trail and Fleming Island, both winning district championships, both remaining undefeated, have to be among the top 5 in most eyes. Off the top of your head, who's your top 3 or top 5 schools
really
in the area?
I really don't like you, man, at all.
We're putting you on the spot here.
Golly. Hey, literally, the music's playing to come back, and Hacker just goes, hey, I'm going to need a top 5 from you.
Well, just your opinion. I mean, off the cuff. Bartram's 1, right?
Yeah, Bartram's 1. Trinity's 2.
Whoa, Trinity's 2?
Yeah, Trinity's 2.
At 4 and 5.
Yep. Trinity's 2.
Okay.
Wow.
Are you not counting Lake City Columbia?
Oh, you know what?
Because Lake City Columbia might have something to say about Trinity being number 2.
No, you know what? You're right. You're right. They are 2. They are 2. And then Trinity would be 3. And then at this point, I mean, I think you got to put Fleming in.
Oh, Fleming, I think. Absolutely.
And where I'm stuck here. Like, if I'm saying the 5 best schools, then I'm going to put Oakleaf in.
Right. Over Bowles.
Yeah, I think so. I think so right now. But at the same time, like, if I'm going to put Bowles in, then why am I not putting Ponte Vedra in?
Or University Christian.
Or University Christian. University Christian beat them. Like,
it's tough.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I'm going to go Oakleaf. But, yeah, I mean, all 3 of those could have an argument. I mean, Mandarin could have an argument at this point because they beat Oakleaf.
Look, speaking of Oakleaf, we got 3 minutes here, so this is going to be the Cliff Notes version. I hate to do it. We'll do more on this next week. You're Frank Garris. You're talking to your Oakleaf kids tonight. He knows. Whether he wants to tell them or not, I'm not sure.
Well, they know.
They've lost 3 games by a combined 10 points. It's the cruel reality of high school football. Odds are they're probably not going to the postseason because of these losses. Now, if they win their last 2, we'll see what happens. They got a big one against Sandalwood next week. They absolutely have to win that. But for a team like Oakleaf that might miss the postseason, that's got to be brutal thinking what might have been.
If you're Frank Garris, if you're Coach Garris, you're being very honest with them. They've already played Sandalwood, haven't they?
They played Sandalwood. Yeah, they got Nice.
They're at Nice and at Clay, so their home season's over.
Right.
And that was their last home game. I mean, all you can tell them at this point is
win the last 2 and see what happens.
Just win the last 2, right? I mean, see what happens. I don't even know. You know, these guys, they all have internet. They all can all figure it out, right? I mean, there's no use in lying to them. I don't know what the real deal is. You just be honest with them. You know, look, guys, you got 2 more games as a group to play together. We're going to practice this Monday and 1 more Monday, and that's the only thing that we got for certain. You know, if we get another Monday out of that, that's great. But if not, you know, let's make the most of these next 2 Mondays. Let's go out 2-0.
Next Friday night, we'll be here under the Friday Night Lights. We have not 1, not 2, but 3 district championship games. Parker and Westside, Menendez and Orange Park, Ponte Vedra, St. Augustine. got to be really fun for coaches and players this week, knowing you're playing in a district championship game next Friday night.
Yeah, man, it's great. It's awesome. It's awesome. Those district championship games, like those, you know, my favorite practice, my favorite week every single year was Thanksgiving, because that's how I judged everywhere I coached. Is, all right, if we were playing on Thanksgiving, then okay, we had a good season, right? And there's just something special about that. But the district championship games are just a blast, just extra juice the whole week in practice. It's so much fun.
Well, we'll be here next Friday night to break it all down. Denny, talk to you then.
Yes, sir.
That is Denny Thompson. I'm the Hacker, Ryan Green. RJ, great job by you, my friend. And thank you, Jacksonville, for listening to the Friday Night Lights postgame. As always, we have been presented by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists. We'll be back next week, and we'll do it all over again. Have an absolutely terrific weekend, Jacksonville. Good night.